I'll be preaching out of Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. I want to talk about someone losing or leaving, not losing, but leaving their first love. If you haven't ever heard of the term grave soaking, commonly known as grave sucking, how many know what that's about, grave soaking? No one? Wow. Well, in the next few weeks, you're going to hear some of the stories about grave soaking. And as a pastor, I don't want to be negligent in what, as a pastor, keeping everybody informed, because you will hear that term in the next few weeks about grave soaking. Now, grave soaking is a very interesting thing in which one mega church fell into a little bit of criticism over. Now, let me say real quickly, I love mega churches. I love them. I love any church that's serving Jesus Christ. The bigger they are, the more I love them. I love to see God's people gather together. So I'm not here being critical of any mega church. I love mega churches. I love little churches. I love big churches. I love churches. I love country churches like this one. I love the church that Jesus Christ bought with his blood. I love preaching. And I love the goodness of the Lord and what a joy it is to get together and share the good things of the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word, verse 1 through 5, Revelation chapter 2. And Jesus is speaking unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. By the way, Ephesus was the most dynamic, most rich, most powerful church in the beginning of the book of Acts. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which is the seven churches. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience. You've been burdened and hast patience. And for my name's sake, hast thou labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent. Remember, repent, and do the first works, or else. Boy, I tell you what, when God says, or else, you're in trouble. I will come unto thee quickly. That's pretty rough, suddenly. And I will remove unto thee quickly. I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Sounds like in verse 5 that the Lord is simply saying, remember, repent, 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 do, get it together, or you're going to lose the light and the power and the moving of my spirit in your church. I'm going to use for a subject tonight, what is grave soaking? And since no one in the church here knows what it is, we'll begin to share some of the things that what it's talking about. I did have a couple of people ask me, but it wasn't one of the church members, what is grave soaking? And we're going to be looking at that because it's real important. It will creep up. It's like a pair of bad underwear. It'll keep creeping up. It will come. And you will have to deal with this issue of grave soaking. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know I can't behave myself. What's underwear got to do with it? But anyway. But it's a blessing. And I bet Chuck Krause has heard of grave soaking. But I want to mention some things that is very important, because when people are eager to serve God, especially when they're a young convert and they're eager to reach out and do things for God, many times they'll get off track a little bit. It doesn't mean they don't love God. It doesn't mean they're not serving the Lord. They're just energetic. They're excited. They want to serve the Lord. And they want to experiment and do new things. Trust me, If you're in a church that's not willing to stretch yourself, and our church stretches, we stretch here. But if you're in a church that's not willing to take on the issues and to stand up for God, even in a time in which it is very hard to stand sometimes, then you're in a dead church if you're not at a place where you're willing to stretch yourselves. Now, let me explain what grave soaking is, or commonly known as, some know it as grave sucking. What it is some very zealous, very energetic people got it in their mind that they could go to the graveyard where a great preacher is buried, if they could go where D.L. Moody is buried, if they could go where Charles Spurgeon is buried, if they could go where John Wesley is buried, if they could go where Billy Sunday is buried, and even some would include C.S. Lewis, if they could go and just lay on their grave, they somehow, some way, can soak up the mantle and the power of God in their life. Now, that's called grave soaking. There are people that believe this. And it'll be an issue in the future because of a man will be coming into this area by the name of Bill Johnson. He's the leader, the pastor of the Bethel Church in Redding, California. Now, Bill Johnson has come out and said, no, we do not practice grave soaking. So I'm going to take his word that he does not. So if you hear rumors that a mega church is going to have someone come in that believes in grave soaking, that's what it is. It's just rumors. There is some things involved that causes this to happen and cause this church, Bethel Church in Redding, California, the reason they got declared as grave suckers, because in such a mega church, a large church, there's young converts. And the leadership of this mega church encourages people to experiment, stretch out, go for new things in Christ. And their school, their college, their students took on themselves to try it out. And so they got involved in somewhat of grave soaking. Now, Bill Johnson says that their church does not practice that. I believe that. But I want you to know something. There's a lot of people in our church, as small as it is, does things that I don't approve of, and I'm not going to take the blame for you. If you're doing something stupid, I am not going to take the fall for you. So I can't, you know, I am accountable for what I preach. I am accountable for what I stand for. But I'm not accountable for everyone in this room. They go out and do something stupid. Now, I would be accountable if I encourage nonsense. I would be very negligent in my work of God if I encourage nonsense. But I want you to know that when a church loses sight of its first love, then love is radical. Love is energetic. Love can be sometimes even look foolish. Love takes your brain away and fills your heart. And the church of Ephesus, the Ephesian church, they were a church that was on fire for God. They were serving the Lord. They were dynamic about the things of God. And because of some corrections that was made by Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesus, there was somewhat of a simmering down of the church. And when the church began to simmer down, it stopped boiling. When it began to simmer down, it became lukewarm. When it began to simmer down and lose its shout, and I told a preacher the other day, there's three things that's necessary in a church: noise, good music, and preaching. And those are three ingredients in every church that you must have. Noise. Noise about Jesus Christ. Noise abroad that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Noise loud and praising God and magnifying God. Being noisy out in the streets. Being noisy wherever you go about your love for Jesus Christ. Singing. Coming together, worshiping the Lord, singing, giving God glory, and always preaching. And those are the three ingredients that this church has always held to. Noise in prayer, noise in telling people about Christ, noise, not afraid to sound out what we believe and what we trust God, noise in the community, noise in the church, noise in prayer, noise in our worship. We've always been about good music. And we've always been about, well, preaching. Now, I believe that what happened was is the church of Ephesus began to lose. The Bible says they didn't lose it. They lost their first love. And someone would immediately say, well, what is Ephesus? What is their first love? What was their first love? And I've even said it myself, and many preachers say, well, it's their desire to see other people saved and their fruit and desire to go evangelize. But wait a minute. First is first. 1 John 4:19. What is first? We love him because he first loved us. So what they did is they left him, they left the first love that he had for them. And they began to lose, and they left their love, and they, because of that, they came to a place where they began to die. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this church, but I want to spend time in this church. Now, there are things we can do in order to stay revived and stay strong. In a full gospel church, in a Pentecostal church, maybe not Pentecostal, maybe not full gospel only, in an ambitious church, in a church that wants nothing more than God to move in great power, there is that possibility of misinterpreting the scriptures. I'll share some things about Bill Johnson, great mega church. I think he's a good man of God. I have no reason to disbelieve that his church does not practice this, but I do have reason to believe that it was an issue in his church and it caused great difficulty in his church because people began to accuse him of grave soaking his church. In fact, I heard it just this week, just this last few days, that he was accused of pastoring a church teaching grave soaking. Well, who am I to disagree when he says his church doesn't practice it? I believe him. Now, there may have been things in order that caused this. I'm sure you've heard of Bethel, Hillsong, the music Hillsong Church. A lot of people don't like the music of Hillsong. Elevation Church. And trust me, there's some things that they say that I don't always ring the bell with me. Sometimes it's more ding-dong, ding-dong than it is the ring. But I love mega churches. I love people that are trying to do something for God. When we're worshiping God in music, when we have, you know, like Hillsong, and they have different styles of worship and energetic worship, what we need to understand is not the beat, it's not the music, it's not the tone and how fast the music is or how slow the music is. You need to listen to the words. You need to listen to the words. It's not good enough to sing a song and not listen to the words. Hey, I grew up in the 60s. I listened to a lot of great music in the 60s. 50s and 60s, 70s, well, you know, kind of phasing out. It kind of ruined the Mustang generation. But I grew up, you know, 50s, late 50s and 60s, and some of the greatest music I ever heard. I loved what they sung. I loved what they said. But I didn't hear what they said half the time. What's What's got to do with an elephant dancing in the rain? Went to the levee, and what was it say? The levee was dry. Good old boy singing whiskey and rye. This is the day that I die. What's that got to do? I mean, come on. And I'm afraid some of the churches have got into the dynamics of the music and not listening really to the words. It's important that we listen to the words. When you pray, listen to your words. When you sing, listen to the words. And that also goes for the old hymns. Sometimes they're not exactly correct. Hello? And so it's important that we understand in our ambition and in our grabbing for, in fact, they say that grave soaking or grave sucking is also called mantle grabbing. Mantle grabbing. Because of Elijah. Remember Elijah when he got ready to go up in a whirlwind, chariot of fire, went up into heaven, and Elisha says, I want your power. I want twice as much. And Elisha said, I'm not going anywhere unless I get that double portion. Remember that? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13, talks about when Elisha went up, that he went up in a whirlwind. And it says in verse 13 of 2 Kings, Elisha took up also the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and went back and stood by the brook or the bank of Jordan. And so that's where a lot of people get the idea that we can pick up a mantle from someone else. I want you to understand that that's Old Testament, and that prophet imparted that to the prophet that would take his place. If we're going to pick up a mantle, it's going to come from Jesus Christ. You don't need my mantle. You need your own. Hello. And the story is when Elijah went up in the whirlwind, went to heaven, and his mantle fell to the ground. You say, what is a mantle? Cloth. It's just a scarf type thing. And it's floating down from the heavens as Elijah goes up. And Elisha's going, he's trying to catch it. And he catches it. And he catches this rag, basically a coat, this mantle. And he walks to the River Jordan. And while he's standing there at the River Jordan, because Elijah had already parted Jordan and went up out in a whirlwind, Elijah stood there at the Jordan bank and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smote the Jordan River and it parted and Elisha went across. And there in his ministry, Elisha performed twice the miracles that Elijah performed. And so some people believe, and Bill Johnson has a book out that says there's many mantles that have fallen that's not been reclaimed. So you can see some things happening where people are trying to look at others to try to grab what they had. And I'm not being critical here, but I do want everyone to understand that in his book, he said that we should, that his people, I heard him on an interview where he said his people should experiment. They should experiment. Well, I don't mind experiments, but they better stay closely attached to the Word of God, because when you experiment with the wrong things, it'll end up exploding in your face. And so he encourages the young people to reach out and go for bigger things. Nothing wrong with that. But in his encouragement for people to do these things, it was taken wrong. And some of the people in his church, which he's not accountable for other than what he's preaching, they took it to grave soak and to do grave sucking, which is not scriptural, by the way. Not at all. And I'll be sharing some things with you tonight that will help you understand. When someone lays on a grave, it's usually because they're distraught and they've got so much grief. And they're laying on a grave because they are missing that one. But this mega church said, if you can find that mantle that's lost, find it and go after it, then you can have the same anointing that some of those other great evangelists in the past had. Now let me say it quickly. In the Bible is a mantle. In the Bible is the great power of God. You'll find your mantle in the Bible. In prayer and worshiping God, you'll find your mantle in the Bible. In the Holy Ghost, in prayer. But I do believe because of this mega church in Bethel, I do believe that because of his desire to keep fresh the great preachers and the great generals of the past, his desire to keep focused on these preachers that had great revivals in the past, Azusa Street Revival, Smith Wigglesworth, John Lake, and all these, his desire to do that was pulling people in the direction to seek their anointing, which we don't need to seek their anointing. If we go to their grave, we need to stand at their grave and say, Lord, do it again in me. Do it again in me. And if you find a mantle, if you find a boost of God's anointing through someone else that's been in the ministry and great preaching, you might find, well, I know you'll find it in the Bible, but the biographies of great men of God can also give you insight to what they did to perform and bring about a great move of God in their life. So the biographies are important to read. And my great big salute, a great big amen to Bill Johnson for trying to keep alive the great preachers of the past, the great movement of the past. There's nothing wrong with that. And we need to keep that alive in our heart. What's the difference in trying to keep what Paul did alive, moving, and taking someone like Billy Graham or Smith Wigglesworth or John Lake or Charles Spurgeon, the quotes and the anointing? I don't think, you know, those that went before us paved a way for us. And we need to be grateful. We need to look at that. We need to understand that. But we're not going to get it by going to their grave and laying on it and sucking the grave. Amen? We're not going to get their mantle by doing that either. Now you say, well, preacher, you're not helping me a bit tonight. Oh, you will be helped because it will come your way. You say, where do they get this in any scripture? Well, the closest thing to that would be when Elisha died. In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Remember, Elisha died. When he died, he was buried. They said they buried him. A band of Moabites invaded the land that was coming at the end of the year to rob the crops. And while Israel was burying a man in the grave, it says, and it came to pass as they were burying a man that behold, they spied a band of men that were coming after them, raiders, and the man they took the man and cast him into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, means they dropped him. They dropped him. King James says let down. Well, drop's the same thing. They dropped him. And when they dropped him in the hole, in the cave or the sepulcher of Elisha, the dead man touched the bones of Elisha. And Elisha and the dead man that was dead after touching the bones of Elisha revived, stood up on his feet. Now, I want you to understand that would be a horrible place to wake up. Amen? But there was anointing in Elisha's bones. So I'm not saying there is an anointing that lingers with someone that's gone on. There is anointing that lingers. But we can't get caught up because it's almost, if we get caught up in running after that and going after that, we get into the spirit of divination. We get in a spirit of wrong going. It's not, we don't go talk to the dead. We don't plead with the dead. We don't get things from the dead. We've got a living Savior. He's not dead. He was dead. He's alive. And that's where we get our strength. Amen. Hello. Now, there's the introduction. That's scary. I know. I said, that's scary. I know. And so I want to go on record right now that I believe Bill Johnson. I believe that they don't practice this. But I know that in a big church with some of the things that's taught, sometimes people misunderstand. And I'm convinced that something, there's some merit to the rumor. There's some merit to it. But I'm not going to assassinate a great church over that. We need to believe, need to trust, and we need to stand for truth. Amen? Now, I shared with you what grave soaking is. Everybody now know what grave soaking is? And I'm going to share now with you four beautiful things. In fact, these are four things we need to be soaking up. And there's only one grave that we can soak up power. It's the empty grave of Jesus Christ. But let's look at four things that we need. There's four things that we need to be soaking up. And once again, I go on record, not as a criticism of this Bethel church. I go on record, not as a criticism of Bill Johnson. I go on record. I believe them. I know that there was misunderstanding. The young people in their church maybe got sidetracked. Understand that. And I want to just go on record that as a preacher, we need to understand that sometimes in their enthusiasm. And I will admit, the preacher defends those young people, saying they were excited, they were going after it, they were experimenting. We encourage our people to do that. So, you know, that's his philosophy, that's his stance. And so I'll honor that, simply the fact that he's the leadership of that church. I don't want to come across like some guy pounding and screaming and putting down another church. That's not my intent. And I love mega churches. I can't believe the preacher went out there and said he loved mega churches. I do. Good ones. Ones that are preaching, worshiping the Lord. Amen. So there are four things that we ought to be soaking up. The first one is we need Bible soaking. We need Bible soaking. This Bible needs to soak into our hearts. Soak it in. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Soak it in. Have not I commanded thee to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Soak it in. Soak it in. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Soak it in. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Soak it in. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm your God. I'm your Savior. Soak it in. God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus Christ. Soak it in. Soak this book in. Soak it in. Let it soak into your heart. Let the good things of God soak deep in your heart and bring grace and blessing, because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He died on Calvary. He went to the cross. He loved us, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and the Holy Ghost will never forsake us or betray us. Soak it in. Soak the Bible in. So though I don't believe in grave soaking, I do believe in Bible soaking. But I'm not telling you to go home and put your Bible under your head. I'm not telling you tonight take your Bible with you and put it on the pillow. Lay your head on and hope it soaks in. Amen? Don't you know, it would be nice, wouldn't it? It would be nice if you could just go home, put the Bible under your ear, lay your head on it, and wake up the next morning, whoa, I'm an epistle now. Woo! Now, wouldn't that be great? Amen? That'd be wonderful if you could just lay your head on the Bible and during the night come up a biblical genius. But that's not how you soak up the Bible. You soak up the Bible like tonight. You're hearing the good word of God. You're studying the word of God. You're reading your Bible. You're digesting your Bible, verse by verse, to the scriptures on Sunday morning, learning the Bible, learning the things of God. That is soaking up the Bible. Soak it up, my friend. God is the God of power and might. Soak it up, my friend. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. Soak it up. Soak it up. Greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. Soak it up. Yeah. Not only do I believe in Bible soaking, but I believe we need to be soaking in God's love. We need to soak in God's love. Amen? Remember, Ephesus had left their first love. We're not talking about their first love. Their first love is Jesus. He loved them first because the Bible's very clear. We love him. They're in 1 John 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Now, we need to soak that up. We need to soak up the love of God. Amen? Let this sink in. Let this sink into your heart. God so loved you that he died for you. Let this sink into your heart. God cares about your soul, and Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary before you were ever even born. Let love soak in. Jesus Christ on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let that sink in. God the Father did that so that he wouldn't have to forsake us. They took the cat of nine tails and beat Jesus Christ beyond recognition. Let that love sink into your heart. By his stripes we are healed. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They pulled out his beard. They mocked him, spit in his face, so that you and I could have a sound mind in the love of God. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, took our hell, took our pain, took our shame, took our judgment, because he first loved us. And because he first loved us, we now love him. Let that soak in. Let's soak in the love of God. Let's just, when we leave here, let's just be soaked in the love of God. Let that sink in. Let that soak into our heart. That Jesus Christ went there to the cross of Calvary, paid the price for our sins so that we would not have to be condemned. Let that soak in. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary, raised again from the dead, so that you and I would never have to go to hell. Let that soak in. Hell, Jesus Christ demolished hell because God so loved the world, and by the power of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ, because he loved you, he brought his power to the cross. Because he loved you, he brought his grace to the world. Because he loved you, he brought his Father's word to the world. Let that soak in. God loves you. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Let that soak in. Let that soak in. We need some love soaking. Amen. Oh, bless God, I'm going to love Jesus. Look, why don't we get to the first base first? Why don't we get a revelation, a new revelation, that God loves us? Some people are trying to love Jesus, and they've never got a real revelation of just how much Jesus loved them. Because we can't truly love him until we realize that he first loved us. Isn't that good? Woo, praise the Lord. Some of you are not shouting, praising God. But I'm telling you right now, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. This is not an experiment. I know I'm right. Amen. Not only should we have a need to be soaking in the love of God, but we need to be soaking in prayer and worship. We need to be simmering in prayer. We need to be soaking, boiling in the things of God. We need to be soaking in the prayer and worship of God. Giving God glory, soaking in him, worshiping him, loving him, singing unto him, praying unto him. We need to be soaking in church. Amen? We need to be soaking in the song service. We need to be soaking in the prayer time at home. We need to be soaking in the blessings of God. We need to be soaking in our prayer and talking to God. When we're praying and talking to God, we're soaking in that promise of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those that sinned against us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. We need to soak in the prayer. Soak in worship. And when we worship God, we need to listen to the words. Because when you worship in God, now some of you don't believe what I'm about to say, but it's the truth. When you worship God in a song, you're praying to God too. And the words that you have your hands up to worshiping God, you better make sure that your prayer fits the word of God. You better make sure when you're singing worship that you're actually singing what is truthful to God's word. It's important that you know the words to the song. Amen? It's important. And then we come to the last one, and this is a wonderful thing. If you have a quest for power, if someone has a quest for power, you won't find it in a decayed, a tomb that's full of decayed flesh. If you have a quest for power, you won't find it in a tomb that's occupied. You'll find it in an empty tomb where Jesus Christ broke the powers of death, hell, in the grave, and rose again from the grave. That's where you'll find power. And Paul said, I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Amen. Amen. We spend a lot of time at the empty tomb. You say, why? He's not there. Well, you need to be reminded of the fact that it's empty. Amen. Hello. One thing you never have to do, you never have to go to the empty tomb of Jesus Christ and lay a wreath. Lay a flower. Now you got to come to church and take bread that is a picture of his broken body for you and I, and drink of the cup, a picture of his blood that was shed for us in remembrance of him. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to soak. We need to be soaking in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let that soak in. Let that soak in. They beat Jesus Christ beyond recognition. Let that soak in. They put nails in his hands and his feet. They beat him beyond recognition. They nailed him to a tree, raised him between heaven and earth like an offering to the Father for you and I's sin. Let that soak in. He was taken down lifeless from the cross of Calvary. He was wrapped in linen, covered with 100 pounds of spice and myrrh that was given to him through Nicodemus, and the tomb that was loaned to him by Joseph of Arimathea. And he went to the tomb. Jesus Christ laid there. Let that soak in. He was beaten beyond recognition. His flesh was dead. His blood had been drained. He was beyond repair. He was dead. Let that soak in. They put him in a tomb. He died for you. He died for me. Let that soak in. And on the third day, Jesus Christ arose from the grave, victorious, conquering death, hell, and the grave. Let the empty tomb soak into your life. Amen. Boy, I always want to let the empty tomb sink in, soak in. I want that resurrection of Jesus to soak into my life. That's why Easter's so wonderful. That's why Resurrection Day is so wonderful. Let that soak in. So I don't believe in Easter. But I don't either. I believe in Resurrection Day. But you can call it what you want to. Jesus is still out of the grave. You can refer to whatever way you want to refer to it, but Jesus Christ knocked the slats out of the graveyard. He broke both ends of the grave, knocked them silly, knocked them loose, broke the chains of darkness, death, hell, and the grave, and Jesus Christ stood up for you and I and ascended to his Father for you and I and makes intercession for you and I. Let that soak in. Yeah, I believe in soaking in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in soaking in prayer and worship to God. I believe in soaking in the love of God. And I believe in soaking in the Word of God. So when anyone ever tells you that they believe in grave soaking, you say, I believe in something better than that. Amen. You can go to your old graveyard and lay on a grave if you want to, but I'm going to go to the Bible because it's not a graveyard. It's a living book. Amen? Now, stop and think about this. There are evangelists, preachers that say we need to pick up Elisha's mantle. There's mantles that have been gone in the past. We need to pick up their mantle. Elijah goes to heaven. He drops his mantle. Elisha picks it up. He hits the Jordan. He walks across. He does twice the miracles. When Jesus Christ arose from the dead, he spent 40 days collecting his disciples, blessing them, touching them, proof of his resurrection, by untold hundreds of people, 500 at once. For the first 40 days, he walked, he ate, he fellowshiped with his disciples, he showed himself risen from the grave. He went back to heaven. He stretched out his hands. He's taken up in Acts chapter 1, last chapter of Luke, and he's taken up in Acts chapter 1. He reaches out his hands, he looks at his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and he blesses them. And then he goes up off the mount, and he reaches a hold of a glory cloud and wraps it around him like a towel. And poof, disintegrates into the presence of his Father. 10 days later, he sent his mantle. 10 days later, Jesus sent his mantle. It was on the day of Pentecost. It's the 50th day. The Holy Ghost, like Jesus, another like him, came to live and dwell with us forever. And the Bible says on that day of Pentecost, the mantle of Jesus came down as cloven tongues of fire, winds blowing like a mighty rushing wind, fills the house, fills the people of God. A fire on everyone's head. Not one person left out. Every head in that room had a fire burning on their head. Because Jesus was sending his mantle. Why would I want to look anywhere other than Jesus Christ? Why would I search anything other than the Holy Ghost? Why would I look for anything other than this Word of God? Why would I look for anything other than the Holy Ghost and the power of God? Why would I look for anything other than my resurrected Jesus Christ and the love of God? Why would I look anywhere other? I won't. My mantle is the Holy Ghost. I won't. My Savior is the Son of God. I won't. My Bible is the Word of Almighty God. I don't have to grave soak. I don't need to grave soak. I'm not a grave sucker. But if I go to a grave, I'm going to go to one that's empty. It's called Jesus' grave because he's not there. And I'll find his mantle. His mantle's the Holy Ghost. Amen. I love to read biographies about Charles Spurgeon. Love to read biographies about D.L. Moody. Love to read biographies about Smith Wigglesworth and John Lake. I love to hear biographies about John Wesley and great men of God of the past. Love to read biographies. And I find gleanings. I find blessings in those biographies. I find things that I can apply to my life. Why? Because I'm keeping their memory alive. I'm looking at what they did. I find things that are good and that I can apply to my life. But I never replace the Holy Ghost with one of those great generals of the past. I never replace the move of God with one of those generals of the past. I want to keep their memory alive. I want to share the good news of what people have done in the past. I want to shout it long and loud that I am great respect for the revivalists of the past. I'm great respect for the mighty move of God of the past. But don't be rummaging through the garbage of the past to find the anointing of God. Come into the presence of God today and take His mantle called the Holy Ghost and look to Him and trust Him, and we can have revival fires across the land that comes out of this book, the Bible, and comes out of our heart and our lives to Jesus Christ. That's where the fire comes. That's where the glory comes. That's where the might comes. The Holy Ghost has not forsaken us, and He's enough to set this house on fire. The Holy Ghost is enough to take us home. The Holy Ghost is enough to move in our lives and bring great revival. Amen. I got to quit. Woo! I felt that I needed to deal with this because you're going to hear about this. And I want you to know that the man that's going to be criticized for this says it's not so. Now, I think there probably was some so in it somewhere, but I love mega churches. And I don't find fault with people that's trying to serve Jesus Christ. Amen? You find people that want to badmouth a mega church, it's just not long they'll badmouth us, and we're not a mega church. We're just a country church. Amen? We're just a country church. And I, you know, I'm so thankful for the blessing of the Lord. I get tickled with people that they're so afraid we're going to get so big that they're not going to be comfortable. Shoot, you're not comfortable now. Amen? There ought to be changes. There has to be changes. How many have seen changes in this church lately? You've seen changes. There has to be changes. There has to be, I'm not saying experiments that are lethal or potential hazards, but there has to be people that stretch themselves, ignite their heart in the love of God. That's why I'm thankful for the board members of this church. The board members of this church trust Jesus Christ enough that He placed the right person behind the pulpit. The leaders of this church have been so supportive of Josh and I, and we are so proud of you because you've never tried to step beyond your control or beyond your authority. You've always let Josh and I do what we feel is the best for this house. And I love you guys for that. You're such a blessing as board members. I care about all of you. But we got to have room to grow. We got to have great things happening. Amen? Hallelujah. Josh, come and read a song before I start in preaching again. I'm allowed to start in again. But I'm pretty wound up. Pretty wound up because you say, why are you wound up? I'm soaked. I am literally soaked. The devil cannot burn me. I'm too wet with the Holy Ghost. I'm soaked with the blessing of the Lord. And so are you as a church. Look what God's doing. Look what God's doing. Let's stretch ourselves. Let's try things that are in this scripture. And let's saturate ourselves with grace and mercy, because the pulpit is such a wonderful place to sound off truth and to share the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Stand with me.